The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
In an article filed to ESPN this morning, written by Tim McMahon of ESPN, the Rockets created a culture that gave James Harden all the power. Whatever James wants. How Harden has controlled Houston's every move. After years of catering to James Harden, the Rockets are at a crossroads. Just James being James inside Harden's cumulative impact on the Rockets' culture. Isn't this interesting how this drops this morning? Along with a lot of other articles. You can look around. Go Google it. Everywhere. It's the same article. James Harden was running the show and he had too much power. And when you see that, that's coordinated on the part of the team. That's leaking from the team. Now, I don't want to disparage Tim McMahon's reporting. He did a very good job. And he talked to a number of people and also presented a different point of view. In other words, it wasn't just Tim McMahon saying, bad James Harden. He exposed the idea that a lot of people in the organization were like, yep, he had a lot of power, and look, we were winning. Yeah, he'd go party in Vegas. He'd come back and drop 50. And they're not wrong. And by the way, is it possible that Harden would have been an even more effective player and leader had he not done those other things? Yeah. You can't prove a counterfactual. In other words, you can't say what if and then know what would have happened. You just don't know. Maybe he's the kind of guy who needs to blow off steam like that in order to be effective. And he'd be worse if he didn't get to do that. But it's reasonable to suggest or assume that he could have led more effectively without kind of that level of power, because with that level of power comes corruption. The idea is, you know, the power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power. So when that's the idea of checking someone's power to make sure they're not too powerful, because it will be a corrupting influence on their own personality. And if James Harden's having everyone wait for him and stuff like that, that's not good. It's not good. And yet, he was one of the best players in the league the last bunch of years. What's happening now, more than that, the real story, I'm going to tell you the real story of what's happening with the Rockets and why all this is happening. But first, let me tell you another 6 minutes, we have Tim Hardaway, senior, the original Tim Hardaway, five-time All-Star, one of the most savage crossovers of all time, and the motor of one of the most fun teams to watch in NBA history, run TMC. With Chris Mullen and who am I forgetting? Latrell, right? Oh. No, Mitch Richmond. Mitch Richmond.
Yes.
Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullen. Well, I don't know why I'm having a brain freeze today. Anyway.
Yeah? No, I always thought Weber was a part of that, but he wasn't. He came after,
no.
Right?
Yeah. No. Weber wasn't in. No, could you imagine? Wait a minute. Wait, maybe he was. I'm forgetting who the hell was in TMC. I got to go look. The point is, Tim Hardaway was a truly great player in his best. You want to talk about why I hate the Knicks so much? This is being a Knicks fan. One offseason, it was like the Knicks have the cap space to get Tim Hardaway, Reggie Miller, and Charles Barkley, or two of those three. And they wound up, instead of Tim Hardaway, Reggie Miller, and Charles Barkley, they wound up with Chris Childs instead of Tim Hardaway. Allen Houston, who was an excellent player, but not Reggie Miller. And Larry Johnson, who I loved, but he won Charles Barkley. So they wound up with Chris Childs, Allen Houston, and Larry Johnson. And guess what happened? They didn't win a championship. Ugh, who could have seen that coming? Anyway, Hardaway was the guy that got away from it. And by the way, he wound up, Pat Riley went to Miami. And so Hardaway winds up in Miami with Alonzo Mourning. And they didn't win a championship either. But from nothing, the Miami Heat were suddenly powerhouses. Used to give the Knicks hell in the playoffs. Okay, anyway, let me tell you what's going on with the Rockets. What's going on is Tillman Fertitta bought the team and wants to win a championship. And what he saw was the Rockets running up against the reality that they simply didn't have enough talent. They weren't a good enough team. Now, that's true of almost every team that ever existed that didn't have one of the best or the second best player in the world. And the truth about James Harden is he's never been the best or second best player in the world. Never, ever, never, never, never close. Harden's never been close to the best player in the world. James Harden has never spent a day of his life better than LeBron James or Kevin Durant. And I'll tell you the truth, I'll take Kawhi Leonard or Giannis over Harden, too. And I'll take Steph over Harden. But before you get to those guys, LeBron James has always clearly, and by a billion light years, been ahead of James Harden. They're not comparable players. And LeBron is taller, faster, jumps higher, he's a better passer. You know, but Harden is one of the most skilled scorers you'll ever see, and he's worked on his defense diligently, and he's become a really underrated defender, and he's a great player. But when you don't have that singular superstar like a LeBron James, if your guy is Harden and LeBron has help, boy, you need a lot of help because LeBron's way better than Harden. Steph is better than Harden too. And Steph had Klay and Dre and Iguodala, and it wasn't enough. Let's be honest. They never would have beaten the Cavs if Kyrie and Kevin Love didn't get hurt that first year. They went to game six with Dellavedova as LeBron's second best player. They'd have lost, certainly, sure, 100%. They would have lost to the Cavs had they been healthy. But they squeaked by and won. Next year, they were like one of the best teams in history, most wins ever in a regular season. Cavs beat them. So even Klay and Dre and Iggy weren't enough help for Steph Curry. They had to go get Kevin Durant. But once they got Durant, who's better than all those guys, there was no stopping the Warriors. The Cavs got smoked in consecutive seasons in the finals by the Warriors. Never had a chance. Never had a chance. We're never in the series. Smoked. And that's with LeBron James as the best player in the world, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on his team. So how is it that little James Harden, not as good as LeBron or KD, or Steph in my opinion, how is it that he was able, with Chris Paul as his second best player, who's a great player, but Chris Paul had a hamstring injury in Game 7 against the Warriors, and then guys like Trevor Ariza and, you know, Clint Capella, nice players, but so under-talented compared to the Warriors. How was it that they were able to host a Game 7 at Houston against those Warriors that smoked the Cavs, the KD Warriors? It's because Daryl Morey is not only a really excellent GM, but he has guts. He's like, yep, we're going to run the most efficient offense possible. I'm going to get the coach that's going to do it in D'Antoni. I don't care about the criticism. We're just going to go for it. So people like Fertitta got spoiled. They're like, boy, we're getting really close, but we can't get over the hump. I need a better coach and GM so that we can get over the hump. Guys, the only reason Fertitta even was in a position to be greedy enough as a competitor to want more is because that Rockets team overachieved by so much. It's ridiculous. Think of that roster. That wasn't a talented enough roster. It wasn't a more talented roster than the Cavs. Not even close. And yet they were a much bigger threat to the Warriors. Why? Because you had a brilliant GM and an excellent coach who were willing, they had the courage of their convictions. And James Harden's a superstar. He's a great player. Now it wasn't enough for Tita. D'Antoni's gone. And then Daryl Morey left. And now all hell breaks loose. And you see, in fact, the Rockets are far away from a championship. And Harden doesn't want to be there. It's not about Harden being spoiled. It's about the owner, understandably, being competitive, wanting more, but not realizing that the only reason he's in a position to pine to get over the hump, he's only even up to the hump because Daryl Morey got him there. Now Daryl Morey's in Philadelphia. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Because when Morey got to Houston, they didn't have talent. He had to go get the talent. But in Philly, he's starting with the talent. Watch what happens. My guest now, one of my all-time favorite players, certainly when I was a kid. The guy I wanted the Knicks to get so bad, I'm still mad. The great Tim Hardaway, five-time NBA All-Star. Tim, Raj and I started literally getting confused about TMC. We're like, wait a minute, was that Chris Webber or Chris Mullen? And was that Sprewell or Mitch Richmond? Who the hell was in TMC?
Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullen.
That's what I said originally. Good, I got it right. You guys were so much fun to watch. So much fun to watch. Then Tim, first, before we get into anything else, tell me the story real quick about not winding up with the Knicks. That killed me. It was. They wound up, instead of you, they got Chris Childs. And I was like, are you kidding? If you give Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley Tim Hardaway and Allen Houston or Reggie Miller, what? They'll win a championship. What happened? Were you ever close to coming to the Knicks? Did you want to go to the Knicks?
Well, you know, the Knicks was in a conversation with my my great agent, Henry Thomas, you know, rest his soul. And they signed Chris Childs as soon as free agency was ready. They signed Chris Childs. And that was the end of us talking, even talking to the New York Knicks. And I just stayed with the Miami Heat. But I was looking to at least talk to the New York Knicks, but it never did happen.
So you sound like you weren't going to come, actually. You just wanted to talk to them to jack the price up. Is that true, or would you have actually come?
I would have came. If they would have offered me, you know, something, I probably would have been there. You know, I probably would have been a New York Knick, you know, at that particular time because, you know, Pat, he was wanting to go after Gary Payton and some other guys. And, you know, he knew that he always had me, you know, because I was their free agent, you know, in the back pocket. So that's the way that went. Just like now, you know, you look at all the other free agents, you try to get them, you try to see what you get, and then, you know, you come back to your guy. So, yeah.
Oh, that drives me nuts. Tim Hardaway, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson, Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing. Oof. Oof. And maybe could have done something. All right. So Giannis re-signs, Tim, speaking about coming back to your own guy, almost a $250 million. But my thing, Tim, is, you know, they played Milwaukee cheap when they let Brogdon go. So now they can't, you know, use him as a trading asset. I love me some Drew Holiday, but they botched the Bogdanovich deal. So now it's Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Giannis. I don't think that's enough, Tim. Like, I saw Drew, who's a great playoff performer, but I saw him with AD. They didn't get close. Do you think Giannis is going to win a chip with Milwaukee?
You know what? If they put the right pieces around him, you know, I mean, Brogdon, I don't know why he didn't come. I don't know why he went to free agency. I guess he had more money. Wow. Which, you know, that's his right. He knew what he had to do. And getting traded to Milwaukee wasn't going to give him the right money. And I think, you know, he's in a great situation. I can't be mad at him. You know, you with Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, they put something beautiful together. So I cannot be mad at him.
You're talking about Bogdanovich.
Bogdanovich.
Yeah, because I made that mistake too. Not Brogdon, yeah. Bogdanovich. Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Bogdanovich. Yeah, I cannot be mad at him. You know, I mean, wow, you know. He would a great system. But, you know, I think Giannis is very committed to his organization, to the city of Milwaukee, and to his ball players. And first of all, I wouldn't have took that long to sign that deal. As soon as they offered that to me, the Supermax, I would have took it. And, you know, and they're going to do the right thing. They're going to try to get the pieces around him to fit him and to, you know, get him to that championship. But, you know, he has to work on his jump shot. You know, I think that's the only thing that's missing from his entourage of skills is a jump shot, a mid-range jump shot. Then let's move to the three-point line. But you know,
if Giannis had a real J, he'd be in the conversation for best player ever. He's 7 feet tall with handles.
Yeah, that's true.
And defense.
That's true, but I mean, just get it to, you know, at least 30%, 35%, 15-foot range. You know, I don't think he's at 35%, you know, 15-foot range. I think it's below that. I think it's like 20-25%.
You were a guy who back in the day, you take 6-7 threes a game and you hit 35% of them. Like you were one of the forerunners of the modern kind of game. Nowadays, everyone's doing that. But in your day, very few guys did that and hit them at the percentage that you hit them. What made you decide, like, I'm going to shoot from out here?
Well, that's the way the game was at that particular time, you know, to spread it out. If like then we had a big man in Alonzo Mourning, four out, one in, and we threw an in and we cut, we moved. So if they go double team, Alonzo knew exactly where we was going to be at, and if they come out and guard us, we know how to swing it. And we swung it to the right people, and that's all we did. We practiced threes every day, 100 threes, 150 threes, 300 threes a day, just to get your rhythm, just to understand, you know, where you're going to shoot from on the court, and to make them and be confident to make them. And, you know, at that particular time, when we had Zoe, if we wanted Zoe to go ahead and do his thing down there, they had to be afraid that we was going to make threes. And when we was making threes, then Zoe was down there one-on-one against anybody, and he could kill them. It was nothing that they could do once he was one-on-one against somebody down low. But we practiced it just not like now. We, you know, I like you said, we shot six threes a game. You know, Vashawn shot six, Mashburn, Jamal, yeah. You know, Dan Marley, Keith Askins.
Well, Mashburn's, you know, a guy I haven't thought of in a minute, but he could ball too. Tim, yeah. I need to get to other stuff before this segment ends. Okay. I want to ask you about your son, Tim Hardaway mm-hmm. Jr. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to say something different because you're here. I say the same thing. I thought early on he's overrated. People are acting like he's an all-star. They're acting like he's his father. He can do a few things, but I don't know. And I got to tell you something. He has become the player I think that people were saying he already was a couple years ago, in my estimation. He can shoot from the outside. He can do a lot of things. His defense has become underrated, the whole thing. And I look at the team he's on. I see guys like, I mean, obviously Luka is a superstar. I think he's going to win MVP this year. I think people sleep on a healthy Porzingis. I think if Porzingis is healthy, he keeps getting better. He's going to be impossible, 7'3", all the things he can do. But even guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber, these are tall, long defenders who can also bomb from the outside. They got Richardson, who's more of a D and 3 guy than a 3 and D guy. But I look at the Mavs, and I'm like, if Porzingis stays healthy, these boys are going to be a problem. Like, this year, what do you think about your son's team?
This year, I think my son's team, they have a great chance. I think that if they all stay healthy, that's the key thing, staying healthy. They're going to make hay in the Western Conference. A lot of people don't understand. My son was hurt, you know, a couple of years. And now he's at 100% now, and he's showing his athleticism, his adversity, and what he can do out there on the court, and showing people that he can score, he can take people to basket, and he can be a playmaker too. And he's long and athletic to play defense. So, you know, right now he's healthy, and a lot of people was down on him. A lot of people was like, you know, I don't know. But they don't know that he was hurt. So, and I always told him, I said, once you get healthy, once you become 100%, you're going to be an all-star. To me, you're going to be an all-star.
Yeah, he's a good, like, I never thought he wasn't a real player. It's just what he was getting paid, you know, versus the production. I was like, I don't know. But he's justifying it now. Right. And
But you know what? Yep. Max, I can say that about a lot of guys out there that they getting paid and not justified for it.
Yep.
So, you know, I go back and forth with a lot of guys with that, and I can name them, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not like that.
Well, I am, Tim. Damn it, I am. I'll name them. That's my job.
I know.
That's my job.
That's your job. But I tell you this. And Luka in the MVP category, yes. He has a chance to win MVP. I mean, he plays at a different beat than everybody, but we also got to understand he's been playing like this since he's been 13 years old against grown men and playing at a high level since he's 13 years old. And Porzingis, man, you know, if he stays healthy, I mean, the sky's the limit. They all have to stay healthy.
Tim, this is what I'm saying about that starting five, right? When I think of that starting five, I'm like, they're playing small ball, but with real size. Like, Porzingis got small ball skills. Yeah. He's 7'3". Kleba's 6'10". Yeah. To me, that's the best lineup. Luka with the ball in his hands, your son off ball, Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith in the front court with Porzingis at center. I think that might be the best starting five, or at least – the best unit in the NBA of starting fives. If they're healthy, that's impossible.
If they're healthy, that's impossible. You're right. And they got a guy that just came from the 76ers and Richardson. That's going to give them a spark, too. He's real good. So, yeah, they got a good chance. That's if they stay healthy, and I hope they stay healthy. And Porzingis is coming back in mid-January. That's going to be the key.
The great Tim Hardaway, ladies and gentlemen, the man who should have been a Nick. Oh, Tim Hardaway, Allen Houston, with Allen Houston and Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley. It kills me. It kills me. But it was Chris Childs. Don't get me started with the Knicks point guards. Trading Mark Jackson, trading Rod Strickland for the remains of Maurice Cheeks. I'm so glad I'm not a Knicks fan anymore. After two losses, consecutively, are the Pittsburgh Steelers in my power rankings? Are they even still there, top five?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Got a new team in the power rankings. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Every day, I say, Raj, I want to get to lots of phone calls today. And he says, Max, forget the people. Forget, what do you call them, commoners, Raj? I resent that.
Yeah, something like
that. I object to that.
We'll give them a chance.
I say, no, I'm a man of the people, and I want to talk to them. Raj just wants his picture up on ESPN+. Plus. He wants to be the only other person who talks on the show. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here. What I'm saying.
Max's NFL power rankings.
Incidentally, have I mentioned that ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance?
Not there, you didn't, but you did a good job, buddy.
Good.
All right, but that's okay, but let's get things started.
Yeah.
Five!
All right, who'd I have five
Number
last
five.
Week?
Well, last week you had the Steelers dropping all the way down there after a loss, so after another loss, I'm a little concerned. What do you got?
Everyone's overreacting to the Steelers losing. I told you ahead of time, this is the tough part of their schedule. Forget about the fact they have a key part of their defense hurt now. But the tough part of their schedule, and they were messed around with COVID. They had to lose their bye early with the Titans, and then they got a mini bye that was messed around because of the Ravens COVID. And so they played four games in 19 days. Not only had they played 3-13, they had a short week. They were on short rest. You know, and so predictably they lost, and facing a tough team. Predictably, they lost. I was not surprised. And because I told everyone, don't overreact. Where did I have them coming into this week, Raj?
Well, you had the Steelers at five, so right. That means you're still there?
I told you, don't overreact, so I've dropped them off my rankings.
What?
That's right. They're gone.
Who's there, then? Who's there? Who you got?
I have the Steelers at six. At five, the Los Angeles Rams. Look at the teams that the Rams are beating. They shut down the Patriots. The Patriots were on a roll. Patriots, like, look at teams who beat other teams who are beating other good teams, right? If a team wins four out of five against good opposition and suddenly they're beaten by another team that's won four out of five against good opposition, boy, the team that won that game has done something, and that's the Rams. They are really firing on all cylinders now, and if Keyshawn Johnson said it earlier on this show, if Jared Goff's not turning the ball over, that's a tough team to beat. They got a real good young coach. They have at least league average quarterback and a guy capable of doing some good stuff. And a balanced attack with a lot of receivers and some Cam Akers can get it done, obviously. And a defense as talented as any this side of Chicago's. So I got the Rams at five, and I may even have them a little bit low there.
Okay, maybe a little bit low. All right, and the next one. Last week you had the Bills. Who do you have for this week?
This week, in a major shuffling of what I had last week, I have the Bills. I couldn't figure out. Yeah, look, the Bills are coming off a good win, and they're a good team, a very good team. And as I keep saying about Josh Allen, not only does he have the best arm this side of Patrick Mahomes, or the biggest one at least, this side of Mahomes, he's mobile, he's athletic. You can see his teammates will follow him. He's even media friendly and says all the right stuff. This is the guy you want as the face of your franchise. Now, I'd say he's the third best quarterback in the AFC behind Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and I've moved him ahead of Lamar Jackson. That's how much I think of him. And when you look at the trajectory of his career, touchdown to interception ratio as a 22-year-old, 1-1, and they had a bad record. 1-1 TD to interception ratio, completed about 50% of his passes. Year two, as a 23-year-old, 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, and he completed about 60% of his passes. We're in year three. And he's now 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio as a 24-year-old, and he's completing about 70% of his passes. He's the real deal, and he's trending into a superstar. But I have not been able to move him above 4, and coming up, I'll explain why.
Okay, we can't move him. Speaking of that, let's go to... Last week you had the Packers of Green Bay at number 3. Who do we have now, Max?
The Saints fall to 3, and I couldn't skip the Bills over the Saints. And that's because the Saints were upset by the Eagles. You could forgive them for falling into a trap there. The Eagles are awful with Carson Wentz. And now they're starting a backup who's obviously been so bad in practice that he couldn't get on the field, even though Wentz was the worst starting quarterback statistically in the NFL this year. So you could forgive them for thinking, all right, this is a team missing a lot of players, and they're terrible, and they're starting their backup already. But it was a trap. The Eagles have been playing pretty good defense recently, and you saw that against Seattle. They played their guts out on defense, and they did it again against the Saints. But more importantly, by Jalen Hurts simply not trying to do too much, not turning the ball over, not making stupid mistakes like Carson Wentz always does. You know, he turned it over one time because they stood him up and someone punched the ball out. I forgot who already. But otherwise, you know, and there wasn't a lot he could do on that play. Otherwise, he was really good. Didn't throw any interceptions, didn't fumble the ball, had some nice running plays, used his legs to create some threat. So, you know, Miles Sanders broke off a big run as a result, and he completed some nice passes. Other than that, though, the Saints' defense has been ferocious. They've been the best in the NFL over the last month or so. And this is all without Drew Brees, guys. I can't drop the Saints below 3 when they're doing this without Drew Brees and they lose a trap game to a bad team who's been playing better recently. I can't drop them below 3.
All right, so that means the next one is... We know who's number 1. That's the Chiefs, so let's just go to number 2. Who is it, Max?
The Green Bay Packers. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, a couple things just happened. The Packers are now at a game within the Saints. If the Packers can have a better record than the Saints, there's only one bye. One bye this year in each conference. Can the Saints go on the road and beat the Packers at Lambeau in the playoffs in the winter? I don't think that's going to happen. It is so important for the Saints to get home field. And they might not. And to get the bye, and they might not. Because Aaron Rodgers at this moment, considering that Mahomes threw 3 interceptions, Aaron Rodgers the MVP right now. You know I think Mahomes the best quarterback I've ever seen. But the second best quarterback I've ever seen, the guy who I thought he replaced, and it's close, is Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers is having one of the best seasons of his career. He's now in the second year of a system with LaFleur. And he still has his talent. Aaron Rodgers is... You know, it's he and Mahomes are in their own category, but I can't, like, I can believe Mahomes is better by a tiny little bit, but I can't prove it this year, not right now, you know, not after the last game Mahomes just had. He still threw for 393 yards, but 3 interceptions? What does Aaron Rodgers have now in the entire season? 4 picks and almost 40 touchdowns? He's having one of the greatest seasons of all time, and when you look at the Packers roster, on defense, they're okay. They're not great. On offense, they have some stuff, but... Aaron Rodgers is a lot of the reason the stuff they got look as good as it does. Packers are second in the power rankings, and the Chiefs are still first because even when they have difficulty, you just get the feeling that they're bored or that they're playing cat and mouse with the league. Packers might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Could you imagine a Super Bowl Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers? I missed someone on the power rankings. Did I get it wrong?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'll tell you tomorrow why the Giants need to sit Daniel Jones. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And it does not have to do with his future. It has to do with right now.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
It's your last take today. How many takes you want out of me? Been juicing me for all my takes for almost 2 straight hours. Elliot in Washington, what's your last take?
Max, am I on?
You're on.
Max, I called before, like, yeah, what I would like, There's a couple of things. The first thing is, I would like to ask Roger Goodell that everyone who plays for a year of football, when they sign their contract...
Boring! Come on, Elliot, let's go! Spit it out!
I'm spitting it, man. Okay, when they play, they get all the brains go to Boston University, so they know what they're dealing with. They don't know what they're dealing with now. It's like tobacco, really. Yeah, they're saying that they want the helmets better and all that. They got to know.
Here's the bottom line. Elliot, here's the bottom line. That's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Max Kellerman Nation, I can't pronounce my own name, just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line saying that NFL players should donate their brains to, you know, be studied after their deaths, I guess it would be after their deaths. I guess because of, you know, worries about brain damage from the NFL. Look, tackle football is bad for your health. We all know that. The extent of the brain damage, we don't know exactly, but we know CTE is a real phenomenon. I was skeptical of CTE as an excuse for bad behavior, et cetera, when I first heard about it, but it's a real phenomenon. It exists. Yeah, if you get knocked in the head a bunch of times, same thing in boxing, UFC, by the way, there are dangerous jobs, and consenting adults agree to be compensated for them and do them. I mean, this is when people say that that capitalism is exploitative. That's right. That's true. It exploits labor, and it's the worst form of an economy, except for every other form of an economy, right? Other than that, capitalism is just the worst. So the point is that people take risks when they take certain jobs. And there's physical risk in the NFL. It's fair to say that you should know what the risks are exactly. But I think we know at a certain point people knew smoking cigarettes is bad for your health. So is playing tackle football. And I don't know that all the players need to donate their brains. Not only a lot of the people wouldn't want to do that anyway, in order to figure that out. Scott and Tucson, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how's it going? I actually have a quick question. Yep. Before the beginning of the season, the Browns had an odds of 3,000 to 1. So I figured, hey, who cares? I bet $1,000 on the off chance they do win the Super Bowl. Man, am I going to be looking at winning a couple million?
Oh, what were their odds?
3,000 to 1.
No, you didn't get 3,000. There's no way you got 3,000 to 1 odds.
3,000 to 1 odds is what the odds were at the time.
You bet. You have a ticket. You have a receipt saying you got 3,000 to 1 odds
on $1,000 bet.
Dude, I hope they win the Super Bowl for you, my man. I can't believe that. Like, how do they get any? Like, that's too much of a risk to take on 3,000 to 1 odds. The Browns had talent, but if you actually got them, if some sucker gave you three, that's such value. It's ridiculous. And the fact that you had the nerve to put a G down. 3,000 to 1 odds. I put $10 down, right? Like, okay, look at this. I'm going to make $30,000 on a $10 bet. That's why I don't believe that what you're telling me is true. But if you put $1,000 down, boy, I hope I'm rooting for the Browns to win the Super Bowl just for you. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Scott just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line and claims if the Browns win the Super Bowl, he's going to make $3 million. Not a chance. But it would be nice if that were true. 1,000 to 1. No, 3,000 to 1 odds. I'll get into the Daniel Jones of it all tomorrow. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.